into your plan and your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you made it. Sorry I'm here before you, but it's okay. I know you came a long way. I only came from Smithers. That's teasing. Well, guys, thank you for everybody. The worship team, thank you. Let me say this. I'm not even listening. I'm speaking to them. They're listening. Some years ago, I was in the Lighthouse Church in Edmonton, and a lady came to me, and she asked me, she said, "Pastor Lo, don't you think you overemphasize the power of God? Because that's a topic I'm always preaching on." You see, in 2003, December 2003, the Lord spoke to me and said, "My son, I want you to teach my power to my church." So that's the topic. That's what I'm always preaching on. So the lady came to me, and she was not snotty. She wasn't rude. She was real, you know. She said, "Don't you think you overemphasize the power of God?" So I thought, wow. And God gave me an answer. And I said this. I said, "I don't think so. Just because I do what I should do in the body of Christ with great enthusiasm, with my passion, I'm standing out. Maybe if somebody else would do what they should do with the same enthusiasm, I won't stand out so much." Amen? And tonight I looked at you, Kevin, and I thought, wow, this is a guy that really helps me not standing out. It is true. Once you see, we are family, okay? Let me be honest with you. Once you are a little different, you stand out and you look ugly. Sometimes people, especially in a more conservative grouping, you really look ugly. But you're helping me not to look that ugly. Yeah, we look ugly together. Amen? Yeah, thanks, man. So your worship guys, thanks, Jill, thanks. And it's a team. It's a team. We're a body, and we belong. We need one another. Amen? The one just got the grace of God to have the mic. But we're still a body. Amen. So, Chris is going to minister the word tonight. And you know what is what's amazing? He was just saying, and I thought, Lord Jesus, this is so powerful. You know, the word of God is so refreshing. I was tired, man. I worked last week. I worked in Smithers. I came through. I preached the whole of last weekend in High River, in High Level. I went back to Smithers. I worked till last night at 8. I got in the vehicle, started driving. I just got here now. I was so tired. But in the worship, man, I can jump. It is the truth. This is what Jesus can do for you, man. This life in Jesus. And in saying that, listen, it is great to work. Okay? It is a great honor, it's a great privilege to be a preacher and to work at the same time. Man, I love it. Somebody asked me the other day, "Lo, will you always work?" I said, "Yes. Yes, I do need money. So if you want to give me money, give me. But I will always work. I love to work and to preach the gospel." This week, let me just tell you, let me be honest. I preached this whole week while I worked as hard as what I preached from a pulpit. While I was working. It's true. It's the truth. I've got people coming on mission trips with me, man. So, thank God for life. Thank God for life. And there's a scripture in the Bible. When I came in, I said, "Chris, I'm even too tired to greet the people, man. And now I'm preaching." Yeah, it's amazing. In, before Chris come, let me just share something with you. Lord Jesus, will you help me? You see, just look at me for a second. In Christ Jesus, there is a principle that you will, and we're going to look at it tomorrow night and Sunday night, okay? But in Christ, He will always call us. God will always call you. He will equip you and send you. These are the three stages of every Christian. Called, equipped, and sent. In Christ, there is no such thing as sit. Okay? And we need to preach this. We need to preach this. There's no such thing as sitting. Jesus never called. And sometimes, let me be very honest, sometimes we hide behind, I'm a businessman. And because I'm a businessman, God wants me to be a lawyer or an advocate. Yeah, God wants you to be an advocate where you can represent Christ. Amen. So, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, now listen to this now. This is, for me, this is such a revelation. No eye has seen and no ear has heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Let's get the revelation. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. Past things. There's certain things that God has prepared for us. I preached last weekend, I was preaching in high level, and I said that for all of our lives, there is a blueprint. You know, when Jesus was born, He had to step into the blueprint of His life. Right from Genesis, there was a story about His life. That true? Hello? You're not with me. In Genesis, it said, and He will crush Satan's head. It was prophesied. So Jesus had to come and crush His head. Right throughout the whole Old Testament, it was a story about Jesus. There was a blueprint for His life, and He had to come and fulfill it. But in the very same way, there is a blueprint for our lives. We don't just live on earth day after day. There's a blueprint. No eye have seen, no ear have heard, no mind have conceived what God has prepared. It's great. It's awesome. Just to step into the very thing that God has prepared for my life. Now in Ephesians, it says this. And I'm not preaching, but I was just so excited, man. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. Hello! Which God prepared in advance. So I can just step into the very thing that He has ordained for me. And the problem is when we do not find the very thing that God has ordained for me, that's where we get tired. Amen? But there's some great things. But back in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 says this, verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The very thing that God has ordained for my life, He hath revealed it to my spirit. I just need to step in. I don't have to go and do bundu bashing. Is that what you call it? Bundu bashing. Don't know what that is. Run through the bushes and try to find my way. Try to serve God here. Try to serve God there. No, man. God already revealed it to me. I can just walk into this. A good example, Chris told me. He said, when he was a young child, how old were you at the camp? 8 years old when God spoke to you. He was 8 years old when God said, I've called you to the nations as a missionary. Is that true? Yeah, man. You know who you are. You know who you should be. God said to Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I called you as a prophet. The very DNA of a prophet was within him. There's a certain DNA within you. Within me, there's a DNA. And let's step in and let's blossom. The Bible says God wants us to bear much fruit. Church, it's time to bear fruit. I was preaching, and maybe I'll do it tomorrow night. I don't know when. But I had some branches the other day while I was preaching. And so often, you know, we want to offer God branches, leaves. Okay? Remember to listen to this now. When Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem the final time, the Jews came and they took branches, palm branches, and they started to wave. And they say, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And they offered him leaves, okay? And they put the leaves in front of him, and he and Jesus and the donkey came and walked all over the leaves. Hallelujah. And they worshipped him. And a couple of hours later, they started to shout, crucify him. Crucify him. You see, Jesus is not into the leaves we want to offer him. The church is so used to offer leaves. God says, the Lord Jesus himself said in John 15, he says, it is to my Father's glory that we bear much fruit. And that fruit you can only find when you function in your DNA. When you function, when you bear fruit, when you are whom he has made you to be. Amen? Let's not only offer him leaves. And let's offer him fruit. Let's start to produce. It is for our Father's glory. John 15. It is for our Father's glory that will produce much fruit. Amen. There's no place in the Bible where we can just sit. Jesus will always stretch us. Listen, sometimes Christians don't want to be stretched. Ask me, if I go to a church and I stretch it a little bit, people get nervous. But Jesus, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, otherwise go to hell. Was that a stretch? Hello? He said, Jesus will always stretch you. He wants to bring something out of us. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to touch us this week. Amen. Let's allow the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, Chris. Chris preached a sermon. When was it? The one in Lighthouse Church. About 2 months ago. He messed us up. He preached a sermon there that I have never heard in my life. And I tell you, nobody have ever. He put all of us in a bag, and he closed the bag on top of us. Wow. Chris.
Thanks, guys, for all coming out. And we've had an amazing summer. And as much as what he said, for us to be here, and what am I doing? I live here, and Lo is here, and I'm speaking. I'm sure that you're wondering why do I have it. So I just make sure that we really, to be able to greet the people, greet you guys. And I guess that's what partnership is. And Lo has done that, and I think we all respect him. That's why we're here, and respect the Lord. Respect the Lord and how he works in our lives. And so, yeah, I just sometimes I know I need to re-listen to that message that he talked about, because I need to learn what I said, because I know how sometimes you can read and you can see, but then did I really grasp that myself? And so I need to really chew through, because sometimes we speak things. I spoke things that I, you know, we can just, and then later on say, Lord, that I have to be able to live that revelation and not just speak it. So, but I would love to probably speak the same thing, but I know that wouldn't be of God tonight. I don't want this thing on me quite as bad. There you go. Ah. So, we did mess up, or I did, at the Lighthouse Church. We were there, and I was asked to take up the offering, and the presence of God was just, it's just like, it was nothing we really experienced, you know, and yet it was time to take up the offering, and we were advised by the pastor there, take up the offering right at the end, so it was just left, and so then I kind of jumped up, and it felt wrong, but yet we had to do it, and you're just like, What do you do? And but the offering is a legitimate aspect of worship and of a service, and whether it is right or wrong, the people really blessed him that night. And but we also determined in our hearts, we don't want to manipulate. It can be a form of manipulation. We don't want to manipulate that moment with people's hearts and God. And now go for the money thing. But Lo was just telling me as he was driving up here that what country, what state, what city? In Georgia. Georgia wants him to come. I think us to come in February. So that's pretty exciting. Georgia in the U.S. And that's really like, so that's very, it's exciting. And also in October, unless it gets changed, Lo's going to be going into India again with some guys. And if they cancel on him, then I'm going to go, and we're going to go in November. So either way, he's got a trip to India. And I think, you know, we've heard him and some of the message, and sometimes we can start taking for almost a little bit for granted, you know. But a lot of places, and we go in and preach the word, and the way it transforms lives. And, yeah, he loves to work, and we all respect him for that. But sometimes I think we all can agree outside of him listening is it can get in the way as well. So we would encourage you. He has some papers. Do you have the? Not here. We'll have one tomorrow. And it's, if you were interested in giving monthly or something like that, it would be a real, real benefit and a help for him. And and anything in the offering tonight or tomorrow night will go to him, and Sunday night, and the more Sunday morning, if you are here, it would go to the church, I believe, unless it's designated to Lo. And but I think he's really blessed us. So I think there was a box at the back, and I think we'll just leave it that way. But it's been very good. I think that the Lord has a word to share. I was working all day and welding, and we're working, getting ready, and probably start harvesting on Monday, and we're farming, and I'm going to continue to farm. But the Lord can speak to us and give us the ability to minister in the midst of our work. I have a guy that started working for me this week, and he... You know, he's been an oil field guy all of his life, and he's in his late 50s, I would think. So he knows the language of the oil field quite well, and he knows a cigarette. And I was wondering, you know, what's it going to be like? But I was very upfront with him, and I told him I was a Christian, and my heart is to serve God, and I minister and preach, and I just told him about how the amazing encounter of God. And so he kind of listened and wasn't sure, okay, fine. But he's been amazing. God brought him because, man, he can go through the stuff and he really knows what he's doing. And they want to come Sunday night. He wants to send his wife to Africa with us. So we're going to work that through. So you know what? God is doing things. It's like, you know, we have to go through some things and make sure. But God is amazing. We put people in a box, and all of a sudden when he told me he wants to send his wife there, I'm kind of struggling to believe what I'm hearing, you know. And anyway, so we're going to work that through. So, Lord, we thank you again for your word and how, Lord, that your word, your life becomes a living testimony within our lives, Lord. Lord God, I pray that just as we look in your word tonight, that, Father, it would become a living testimony in all of our lives. Lord God, that God is your word is powerful, Lord, that it wouldn't be a powerful word on a page, but it would be a powerful word that just unleashes and unfolds your power, your presence, your understanding of your word in our life, Lord. God, I thank you for the plan and a purpose that you have for every one of us, Lord. And Lord, I believe that it is your utmost desire that we can understand that and walk in it. And Lord, may you just bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A year and a half ago, I had a great privilege of meeting a guy in Africa, Uncle Angus Buchan. And I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but and he's had some amazing testimonies and amazing people that have gone to some of his services. In 2010, there was 500,000 men that showed up on his farm just because they were drawn. So I got a chance, and we had a chance to meet him, and he just prayed over us and blessed us. But what he really encouraged us as a family is he said, I want you to really think big. And he showed me, purposely showed us in 2010, and he showed us pictures of 500,000 men, and we were actually on his farm. So we could see the fields. This is out in the bushes like us, or I mean, out in the farmland in the country like I live. And he showed us the hills and the neighboring, and he said, over to that hill and this way. And there was pictures on his wall to verify it. And he said there was tents and men camping the whole, everywhere. And he said the airplanes thought that was Durban, and they were confused, and because there was so much lights, in all of the activities, there was a different city on the ground. And he just challenged me. He says, I want you to think big. He really, really said that. So that way you can give glory to God. And sometimes we think too small. We put God in a box. And even more than God, we put ourselves in a box. I think we can all think of God as a mighty, powerful God, and that's why we're here. But we put ourselves in a box and limits what God wants to do for us. And when we can understand, and I trust that that we can open up the box within us. You guys led a song that said, through us the blind will see. And I wondered, is that just saying through Jesus, and we say that? But then it says, through us. Then there's another verse, line a couple lines down, that everyone will give praise to God, or it's through, we'll praise him, or not praise, but it's, we'll. And I realized, no, it, that's a song, and I want to know that it's in Scripture, but I know that's the Word of God. That through us, things will happen. And so I just can't not read this Scripture because I've been just reading it a lot this summer, and then I'm going to go where I'm at. So 2 Corinthians 3, I'm still amazed by this. Verse 2 Corinthians 3, let's start at verse 4. And we have such trust, through Christ towards God. So we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And I know that was one of the things I spoke on the Lighthouse Church. And we always put ourselves in a box and say, but and who are we? I've heard people say, I'm not a speaker like me. And I laugh. I'm not a speaker. What are you talking about? But when we start to understand that our sufficiency comes from God, man, we can be speakers. We can take hold of things. We love to sound humble and to say, well, I would do that, but that isn't, I am not good enough kind of thing. I haven't had enough training. That's not for me. We have 100 things that we throw in there why we don't believe God has called us or why we are not capable of doing something. Maybe we look at our life and it's a little bit messy yet, or it hasn't got perfected like we believe it should. Maybe our kids aren't saved, or there's so many things. And so we feel that we have to back off. But when we comprehend that our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So every time we see why we aren't sufficient, we're going back to the letter, and it says the letter kills. The letter is definitely the law, the commandments, the Old Testament. And when we look at our life according to that, it kills us, it takes us back, and it tells us I am not sufficient. And it sounds a really holy and really awesome. You know, we say, woe is me. But when Isaiah said that in chapter 6 of Isaiah, when he fell down and said, woe is me, God picked him up and touched him and said, no. And he touched him with a coal and he made him righteous. And yet we want to go back to that stage where Isaiah was, and we feel that that is an awesome place as people to be, is by saying, oh, woe is me. And we like to sound very humble. And we're really walking away from the fact that Jesus has made us sufficient. As this summer, I've believed with all my heart that we can come and minister, speak to people, be it our life, on our farms or our work, or at a chance to speak to you tonight, is that we can speak with a capacity that really doesn't leave hardly you a choice. We're going to pull you into the Word of God. I believe that because when Jesus walked, you were unable to come and not have an opinion. You could not stand around Jesus and just kind of shuffle off, and it didn't mean anything. It was impossible. When the Apostle Paul walked, it was impossible to just walk off. You either wanted to kill him, or you had to accept his message and repent. He had that in him that you could not remain neutral. You couldn't remain neutral. It's impossible. And God wants us to live our lives in a way that it is impossible for people to remain neutral around us. And that does cause us to step out of the comfort zone. It causes us to step out of what we can do and what we're capable of. But this summer, I've seen God touch in a way, and people that had commented to us and said things. And it isn't it's not a bragging thing, but it is an understanding that our sufficiency isn't by our good works or our good knowledge, having all the words put together. But man, when I know I'm sufficient before God to speak, that means, man, we're fully sufficient. We're fully able. God has fully released his power, his ability to be able to bring life to people. And I think that there is a crossroads that the church at large has to come through. And that is to understand that we have been made sufficient through Christ, so we can go out as true representatives of Jesus Christ. We can, and we should, and all of a sudden, you will find yourself that there will be life coming out of you that you've always longed for. But stepping into that can be scary. It can throw a lot of things into us. But when we say, no, I'm not going to believe that anymore. I'm going to believe the word. I am going to be an ambassador for Jesus. I am going to represent Jesus. It just does something in your heart that nothing else can fulfill. There's no other place. It is not about knowing God's word anymore. It is not about being a good person anymore. It's not about none of those things have any bearing. But man, I represented my God. And that is the very purpose in the call. So, man, let's go to verse 8 then. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So now in the New Testament, Jesus came and he gave his life for us. And then it says the Holy Spirit will be sent. And so now we're in a position of the ministry of the Spirit. He's more glorious than the law. For the ministry of condemnation had glory. The law condemns us. Every time we study the law outside of understanding our righteousness coming from Jesus, it leaves us feeling condemned. Awesome. Thank you. So, not to remove the law, but Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus fulfilled the law, so now I can walk in his shoes. We don't have to go there, but in 1 John 4, verse, I believe it is 6, but it's in 1 John 4, it says, we live through him. It's like, you know, you can have Kenneth here, and this man is Jesus here, and we are our humble little selves, but we can live through Jesus. We live through him. So, this man was righteous. This man fully fulfilled the law. He fully combed his hair. You know, he did all this stuff. He even wears shorts. We're going to have a pair of scissors afterward, and we're going to do a short service for everybody. We'll cut our pants into shorts. But we live through Jesus. And sometimes we have the idea that Jesus has to live through us. And it is all a matter of our conduct and our effort and our knowledge and all of our good stuff. And then we always see that we didn't quite make it. So then we feel we better step aside and let somebody else that's more righteous than me go ahead and do it. And oftentimes they end up being the self-righteous person, and we should have done it, and we should have just went forward, if that makes sense. We get to live through Jesus. And when we live through Jesus, our lives just change. We can't live through Jesus and continue to want to do our own thing, because then we're not actually going to live through him, and it's not going to be our heart and our desire. We are sufficient because Jesus is sufficient. We are holy because Jesus is holy. Jesus is sitting in heaven with an open communication to God. God and Jesus have a perfect open communication. There is a complete open heaven between Jesus and God the Father. And since we get to live through Jesus, we also can have a complete open relation, open heaven, open aspect to God. Even if we don't see it, it doesn't matter. We believe it. Even if we don't have the visions that Kenneth has, we still believe it. You know, even if we don't speak like somebody else, we still believe it. Even if we don't see the sick get healed like Lo, we still believe it. We refuse to not believe it. Thanks, Kenneth. We refuse to not believe it. And then all those things start to flow out of your life. But if you're waiting to see it flow out of your life to believe it, we'll be continually waiting and waiting and wondering why God doesn't work through us that way. And we'll somehow think God has us on the sidelines. And we could spend our whole life wondering why God hasn't given us a place. But once we get a hold of the fact that I am sufficient through Christ, man, it's not about my good behavior and all that will change. Our heart's desire will change. We'll have such a heart for God, we don't have to worry about our behavior. Man, it's just, things are going to stand for God, man. There's no other life. So in verse 9 that I seen, it says, "For the ministry of condemnation had glory. The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." But verse 8 says, "How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Peter, if you want to live according to the Spirit, we got to understand that we're righteous in verse 9. Once we realize that we are righteous before God, because we are living through Him, we are made complete, we are sufficient through God, and we start to walk as righteous people before God, we'll be Spirit people. We'll be Spirit people. We'll be Spirit people. Your life will not have ups and downs. Yeah, some days can still have days. Things can still break down. Anything could still happen. But our life will never be tottering up and down. We'll never doubt. We'll never wonder what God is trying to teach us in this circumstance. We won't have to go through life feeling like we're always being battered and wondering what this is all about. Even if things come, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to, okay, life is there, sure. I sent money to a young guy in India, and he's in the Philippines. And somehow, his name is Vuka, and an S got put on the end of his name, and he's in the Philippines, and he's taking Bible school there. And I sent to him once, and he received it, but a bunch of extra stuff came up, and he needed more money, and he was very concerned. Anyway, I sent to him again. But this time the teller agent said, no, you can't have the money because there's an S there and it's not the way his passport was written. So the teller said, you can't have it. Even though he had the transaction code, it was all there. The teller said no. So I went into town to rectify it and they said, no, the money has been taken. And I said, well, no, it couldn't have been. He wasn't allowed to receive it. No, they said the teller there in the Philippines would have took the money. They would have stole it. Yeah. So the teller in the Philippines purposely seen, oh, there's an S there. Even though the young guy had the transaction number, it was definitely his money. The teller then took it. And I says, could they do that? Oh, yeah, easy. The lady said it's very easy for the teller over there to take the money. So we could wonder, and what in the world? But I says, no, man, we're not going to worry about this. We'll just send it again. He needs it. Whatever happened, somebody received it, but that's not the purpose of the message. So, Lord, as I was thinking yesterday, what did Jesus call his disciples to do? One of the very first things he said, Matthew 4:19, since we got it on there, can we get 4:19? New King James Version, that's the same as mine. I'm really excited, as Lois excited, and I think for all of our lives, I'm just as excited about this guy on my farm. You know, it's not about the fact of being able to preach, which is amazing, but our very life. It's just exciting to see God work through. And you guys have all, I'm sure most of you could stand up and testify. So then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I was thinking about fishers of men. Did anybody, I know Peter got to go fishing. I got to go fishing this summer for a couple days. I know we like to go fishing. And if we're going to go fishing, we're going to go to catch that fish. And if we're not catching a fish, we're not happy. I mean, we can enjoy being out and all that. But a true fisherman, of the Bible. A fisherman, like a farmer, that was going to fish for his provision, needed to catch fish. It wasn't optional. He had to catch fish. I will make you a fisherman. Because if he ain't catching fish, he's not eating. He's not selling produce. His livelihood is in jeopardy. How is he going to feed? There's probably not a government security system. He has to catch fish. Then in Luke 5, verse 5 to 8, I didn't give her the verses, so she's doing really good. She says, if I give it in advance. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. So Jesus has told them, cast your net on the other side of the boat. So he said, I've worked all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I'm sure it was a lot of work. And I don't know what their fishing nets were like, but if it was easy, it probably wouldn't have even been a thought. But they said, okay, we'll let down the net. And let's go to the next, keep reading. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Keep going. So they signaled to their partners in the boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. And we'll read verse 8 as well. When Simon saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. The most amazing experience happened to Peter. It'd be like a farmer reaping a harvest beyond what's possible. He reaped a catch of fish beyond any fisherman's expectation. One thing I see there, if we want revival in church, that boat went out and caught the fish on the word of Jesus. We hear, get to know God. God will always speak to us. When our heart is for God, he will always speak to us. And if we're not catching fish, then we got to hear from God. When our heart is for God, he's going to speak. He cries to speak to us. He may not speak like he speaks to another person. My life, for a long time, I would be with Lo. And I would see the way the Lord would speak to him. And I would complain to the Lord. I'd say, Lord, it's not fair. I need to hear from you like you speak to him. And we do that. We watch somebody else. And we expect God to speak through us like he does to the other guy. Not understanding that we're all individual. We're all unique. And I think that the Lord speaks to Lo different than I think that God speaks to him. That's the one mistake we make. We think that it might be this audible booming voice, or it's this or it's that. And so we say, Lord, I would step out in faith if I heard you like you speak to that guy. I was caught there. And I just such a heart, because you see the power of speaking to people in their lives and how it can change their lives. Or just in the realm of what we do. Lord, I need to hear your voice. And yet I want to hear it the way he speaks to somebody else. And when our heart is before God, and it might take some time, it might take getting on our knees, but I promise you that, of course, it's going to take getting on our knees. It not might. If it's just, but that time with God, and when we learn to hear God speak to us the way he speaks to us, it's more powerful than anything. We can't speak like Jules. And I still can say that. My fleshly man easily says, Lord, I want to hear like that person. But we were in High Prairie, and I had ministered there, and God just opened a door there. And I just, if that's not God, God just opened a door there. And Lo was there for the week, but I only came one night, and I prayed for people. And the pastor and Lo said, the way that God spoke through me into their lives, he said, was so accurate and amazing. And And I was just speaking from my heart. And then I just like, Lord, you just sit back in awe and amazed, and you're just like, God. You just tremble, and you just, Lord, Lord. And I didn't hear a voice speaking the way I expected it to sound. I didn't hear what I wanted to hear, but the way it impacted people's lives, it is not man. It can't come from man. But it is a stepping in faith, believing that I am sufficient. Peter in Luke chapter 5, when this amazing thing happened, he fell down on his knees and he said, depart from me. I think, isn't that what Isaiah did in chapter 6 of Isaiah? I think we know our Bibles here. Peter did what Isaiah did, but he was not yet spirit-filled. Man, he was walking with God. He was walking with Jesus. And yet when the miraculous happened, he wanted God to depart from him because he didn't feel he was worthy. But God didn't depart from him. But that's what Isaiah did. I think we get ourselves caught. God reveals something to us. We see something. We have all of a sudden, I could speak to that person. But we say, yeah, but who am I? We're very quick to look at our life. We're very quick to say, well, yeah, but really, who am I to do that? And it sounds so humble and so amazing. It sounds so like we should be proud of a person for saying that. But isn't that what Peter did right there? Peter did that. I mean, not this Peter. Maybe. But sometimes in our life, I bet that Peter done it. I bet I've done it. If we don't help each other, there's no point being here tonight. But Jesus wasn't done with Peter. Let's go to John chapter 21, verse 5 to 6. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Here they are fishing after the resurrection of Jesus. They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus spoke that direct. Cast your net on the other side, and you will find some. And yet we are to live through him. God has allowed us, is calling our name, challenging us to say, if you go and do that over there, you will find some. When we have a heart with God, we can speak and we can tell people, man, if you do this over here, you'll find some. So they cast, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Again, the net was so full. The net was so full. When I look at this, Jesus has called us to be fishers of men. We are not to go out like we can do in the slave lake, and we can sit and jig. Maybe we catch one, maybe not, because we got food in the fridge or in the camper. You know, we're okay. Peter's got a pretty nice unit, and I bet he's got food in there. You know, we go out and we have fun fishing. But we aren't to fish that way. Not for men. Because when the disciples fished all night, it wasn't good enough for Jesus to say, oh, well, don't worry about it. I got some fish on the beach for you. Come on in, and I want to speak with you. It wasn't good enough to fish all night and not catch anything. That isn't the plan of God. The plan of God is when we fish, we will catch. We will catch. It is impossible. And if we're not catching, we say, Lord, Lord, what's going on? Speak to me, Lord. Lord, speak to my heart. Get in the Word. It is not possible to be a Christian and not catch fish because we're called to be fishers of men. It's not possible. It's not up to God. It's not up to God and say, well, I did my part. I was out all night. I did my thing, God, so I guess it's up to you. It's not. It's not up to God. Yes, of course we got to have God in the equation. We got to hear from God. We have to have God in on it. But if it was up to God, I promise you, the fishes would be full. The nets would be full. Everything would be finished. God loves people. The harvest would be done. If it was up to God, surely the harvest would be already finished. God loves people. There's no way he wants to see our communities unsaved, lost, and in hopeless despair, not knowing what to do. It's not a rebuke, but it's an understanding that it is not acceptable for us to carry on without seeing the harvest, without seeing the multitude come in. They must come in. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm just thinking about that. I do have it written here. It says 5:13-16. It says, "So let your light shine before men to bring glory to my Father in heaven." It says, "You are the salt of the earth." Who is the salt? We are. We are the salt. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned again? Man, he's speaking to us. It is good then for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled by men. Let's keep reading though. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." We cannot be hidden. We cannot be hidden. And if we continue reading, "Nor do they put a light and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house." Let's read the last one more verse. "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." I want to bring you to a place of understanding that God has a design, purpose, and a plan for people. He loves the world. He loves the lost. He loves the sinner. But I like how it says, "Let your light so shine." So let your light shine that they may before men. So let our light shine. We often will, there's many good-hearted Christian people. And we sit, and I'm there, I understand. But we let a little bit of light shine. And then we say, "Well, I've gone out and I've fished." But we don't see result. Maybe we see a little bit of result. You know, we might catch enough for dinner. We catch a little bit, but is that really where God would have for us? We're not all to be an evangelist, and as Lo shared, some people are graced to be given a microphone, and it's not really there because the place isn't packed out tonight, but it's our lives. So let our lives shine before men. So let our lives shine. So let our lives shine. If we have not seen the harvest of souls, that God, the harvest of souls, the harvest of the light of God, the miraculous of just the presence of God touch people. If we have not seen that in our life, as you know that God has put in your hearts, God has put that in our hearts. God has given us desire for man. And if he hasn't given us that desire, then we have to be born again. If we don't have a desire for men, we truly have to be born again. But we have a desire to see people touched by God. It is the DNA of a Christian. It is the DNA. It is our very purpose and our calling, because God now becomes our real true Father. Our DNA comes from God the Father. He's not just the big guy upstairs. He's not just the heavenly being. He becomes our Father. He becomes our Father. And yet, the way God has it worked out is, it's like my dad let me run the farm and start taking over the farm. And he started handing the reins over to let me do it. I know there are some fathers that will hold on to the reins into their 70s and 80s, and their poor sons are in their 50s, and they have not been given the reins of the farm. And they're still answering to dad on all the decisions. And I feel for those guys, because they haven't been able to step into the purpose of life. God has given us and handed over the reins as him being the Father. He has given us the inheritance. He's given it to us, Terrell. He's given it to us. And then sometimes we say, I don't know why God isn't doing anything here. And then we blame God for the lack of action in our life when it is us. It's not God. It's not God. It's not God. It's not God. And this is something to help us. Because when I've seen people just get touched by the Lord, man, it puts such a burning in my heart. Such an incredible burning. And I know that is for all of you. There's no way it wouldn't put such a burning and a overwhelming sense of purpose and life within your heart when you see God touch people through your life. It's just like, God, this is my life. This is purpose, man. We're excited about our crops. I am. I think we have some amazing crops. I think we'll have some of the biggest harvest I think I've ever seen. But what really gets me excited is to see people drawn into a relationship with God, drawn into understanding that our very purpose, our very sufficiency is complete in God. It is complete in God. It is the calling on our lives. Whether we work in a tiller, whether we are a dispatcher, whether we have a company, a grandparent, whether we're a preacher, song leader, whatever we do, so let our light shine. If our light isn't shining enough, then we got to get it bigger. We got to get our light shining before God. It's not being arrogant and rude and bullheaded and noisy. It can be if that's what it is for you. But that isn't what it is. I think of Smith Wigglesworth, and I hear stories where he was in a train car, and everybody in the train car just said, wow, what's going on? And I don't think he was even speaking. And the presence of God, his light was just shining before them. They says, what's going on? And they were all saved in that train car. What is it for us? What is it for us? I don't want to have a microphone and speak just to tell you something amazing and give you a new revelation if it doesn't bring change. I want it to have such an impact in our lives that it just propels us to go forward. Jesus didn't spend time with his disciples just to teach them some neat stuff. He did it so they could change the world. Man, I want to change the world. I believe that the calling is to the calling of God is to change the world. We sing that in our songs. We all sang that. And many times we don't have a problem with that. But when we realize it really, really is up to me. It's not just a matter of singing about it, but it is taking hold of it. Taking hold of it. It's like there's no other way. We've done a lot of fishing. Sometimes we've been in some very charismatic groups, and sometimes people can come, have an amazing encounter with God, and it seems that 2 weeks later they've just kind of gone back down. And I know from my life, I thought it should never be that way. And it's not that I never had any moments. But it's like we must possess God. We must take hold of it and realize that on earth, I'm the ambassador for God. On my farm, it's not that I'm the only Christian, but man, I'm the ambassador here. At our work sites, man, I'm the ambassador. I am the ambassador for God. And it's up to me. I am good enough. Not that I'm sufficient in myself, but my sufficiency comes from God. Lord Jesus. In Psalms chapter 1, we'll just close there. I'm going to read most of this psalm. Lord, this day I, Lord, we might be small in number, but God, Paul went out and he changed the world. And we can say Paul did, but you walked with him. It was emerging. It was side by side. It was Paul following you, but Paul stepping into your kingdom and what it meant. Lord, as we open into this psalm, Lord God, I ask, Lord, that it is not good enough for me just to get another belief in the scripture, Lord, but God, that I would possess it. Lord, allow each of us, Lord, to take hold of this and possess this. Father, maybe we've been taught that we should be like Peter and say, depart from me, God. Or maybe we've been taught that, who am I to speak to somebody because I'm not here to condemn them. And we feel like we're just condemning people by bringing them life. And we've been confused, Lord. Lord, even the messages that have been spoken, Lord, there's been so many messages and so many people that speak your word, and some people speak your word and manipulate it and twist it, Lord, and can show something that you aren't even saying, Lord. And God, sometimes we don't even know how to believe your word because it just seems like we can pull from it whatever we want. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, may we never just take your word and pull from it from what we are trying to, from our point of view. God, may we not do that. God, may we not do that. Lord, as we prepare to read this psalm, Lord, a verse we love here, and all of creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Lord, I didn't even know who that was or what that meant. And Father, that is us, your sons. God, that we would reveal. God, we wouldn't be satisfied just dropping a net and saying we went fishing and it's up to you to bring the fish. Lord, of course it is emerging and it's a partnership with you, but Lord, may we never be satisfied by saying we did something and we just feel like we put the onus on you to bear it. For God, you've said we must bear fruit. God, take us into understanding what it means to be sons of God. Lord, we never want to walk in pride. Lord, we never want to walk in self-righteousness and ego, Lord. Help us to discern the difference between ego and pride, arrogance, and knowing who we are in you. Help us to understand the difference. Lord, that we wouldn't shrink back, Father, from walking with you as a son because somebody told us we're arrogant or proud or anything of that nature, Father. Lord, thank you for this word. Reveal it to us as we read it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just read this psalm. I read this psalm this summer, and so, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's not believe the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. So don't take and put this back into law. My delight is in knowing Jesus. My delight, Jesus fulfilled the law. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. My delight is in Jesus. And in his law, in Jesus, he meditates. In Jesus, I meditate. In Jesus, let's meditate. Man, there is nothing else. In Jesus, there is nothing else but him. There's nothing else. There is nothing else. Nothing else. There's nothing else but Jesus. For he, I'm going to be arrogant here, but I'm not arrogant. But I, Chris, let's put our names there. I, Jules, I, Kenneth, I, Lo, I, Ed, I, all of you guys. But I will be like a tree planted. I, my parents. I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. I'm not in a desert land. Man, God speaks, man. I'm not in the desert. I don't care if I haven't heard God speak to me. I know he speaks, and I'm not in a desert no matter what. I refuse to think that. I refuse to go there no matter what. No matter what, no matter what my bank account says, no matter what anything says, I refuse to say I'm in a desert. It's impossible. How could I be in a desert? But I'm not going to look outwardly. I'm going to believe it. That brings forth its fruit in its season. There's the fruit again. Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Man, if we're going to go fishing, it's going to prosper. Whatever I do, I'm going to prosper. If I'm going to speak to you tonight, guys, it has to prosper. I don't want to waste your time. I don't waste your time. Whatever we do must prosper. Our businesses, our farms. Not just to have all the money, but it takes money. It just takes money. Man, what we do must prosper. If I'm going to speak to this guy on my farm, man, it must prosper. I must do it in a way that I have such light before him that he just doesn't understand. Where is this guy coming from? What's going on with him? God leaves that up to us. God leaves that up to us. Hey, Rory? Yeah. Whatever we do, if we're going to do our schoolwork, let's prosper at it. Let's prosper. Whatever we do. Whatever we do. Why? Because I'm sufficient in Christ. Whatever I do must prosper. And if it's not prospering, I must get to the Lord and say, what's going on? I can't be satisfied with a net half full. Jesus filled the nets. Whenever Jesus showed up on the scene, the net was breaking, it was overflowing, it was full. And all of a sudden, when the nets are full, it's like, Jules, come help me. I need help. And it's not about the man. But if our nets aren't full, we might try to make a name for ourselves. But if our nets are full, we're trying to get people. Guys, come with me, man. There's a harvest. There's a full net. Amen. We call this weekend sent forth. Sent forth. I just, I believe what Lo is going to share and what God brings Sunday and everything, that he's going to send us out. You guys know me, so I could tell you stories, but you'll tell me if I'm telling you a lie or not. So, but I know what God has done in a few years. It's the Word, man. It's the Word. I get in my highway truck and I listen to the Word and I allow that Word to enter into my heart and to believe it. And I tell you, I'm not. There's so many things that I believe the Lord has. So I cannot be satisfied where I'm at. That would be awful. That would be sinful. But if I'm going to press in and continually day by day say, Lord, I need to see more fruit. Lord, I need to see more fish. Lord, give me a bigger net so we can take more. Give me a bigger boat so I can hold a bigger net so I can take in more fish. Let's keep getting bigger. Give me a greater capacity, Lord, to be able to speak to people. Give me more capacity, Lord. Give me more understanding. Give me more heart and burning desire so that I'll be able to reach into people's lives. I love to watch a Reinhard Bonnke. But as I study his life, yes, God showed up massively. But he didn't just sit back and wait for God to do it. Man, he took hold of it. He took hold of it. He took hold of it. Amen. So, Lo, do you want to add any more?
Thanks, Chris. But Chris said, yeah, wow. We know Annalise, am I right? Annalise, you've been here? I sat 2 days ago. I just went on YouTube and I just looked at the husband, Prof. Kubus. And I looked and I saw the impact that he had on people in Africa. And I realized, Lord Jesus, this man is gone. Who's there that's going to step in the gap and touch the people so that they don't have to die? 2 days ago, I said, Jesus, will you extend me? Not because of me, but for the sake of the people, man. Lord, touch my life. Lord, anoint me. Create in me the capacity to step in and to touch those who've been afflicted with HIV, cancer, and we've got to do that, man. Not for us. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And they crucified him, you know. And if we step in, maybe we'll be crucified a little bit. But let's step in regardless. Let's step in and say, Jesus, enlarge me. Give me vision, man. Let me step in there. You know, somebody said, I'm closing. Somebody said on Facebook this week, he said this. He said, it is unnatural for a Christian not to be prompted to the supernatural. It's unnatural for a Christian not to be prompted for the super spiritual, for the supernatural. Man, if we've got the Holy, if we are born again and we've got the Holy Ghost in us, there's a capacity in us to go for the supernatural. Amen. And let's get away from people and mannerism. You know, I've got some mannerism, and you know, we are people, man. And let's get away from people and let's step into the very things of God. You know, I was preaching the other day and I said, you know, the Bible, Paul said, let's run your race. Let's get busy with the call of God on our lives. And the way Chris do things and let's not, you know, let's stop interfering in run somebody else's races. Run your race. Amen. Run and run it hard. for Jesus. For God's sake, run your race. Amen. In the natural, if an athlete run, you know, they run in lanes. Man, and the moment that gun goes off, they run. And the eyes are straight ahead. And the moment there's no thing of looking around, they cannot touch the lane. They cannot step outside of a lane. They run their race, their lane. And let's run. In Jesus' name, let's run. Let's accomplish the very thing God has called me. When God created me, He ordained me. Let's run. Just the other day, somebody came to me and said, "But Lo, why do you do this and why and that why?" And eventually I just said, "Listen, I'm running my race, man. Get out of my lane." Yeah. You know, all of us, we're trying, okay? Of all of us, we shoot. We shoot, man. And in my African way, I try to run my race. And it might look a little different, but I run. So, amen. So, Father, we thank you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for a great revelation, Father. Father, we thank you that your word will come true in our hearts. We thank you for a flame, my Father, a flame of Spirit of God that will burn within us. And Father, that nothing will satisfy us, nothing else except you and your plan for our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So let's come tomorrow night. I know God's going to bless us. God's going to touch us. What I really want to do, I don't know, tomorrow night or Sunday night, but I want to touch on faith. I think if there's one area that the church really need to get an understanding is faith. Yeah. I really believe that. How does faith work? What about you pray for someone and the person still die? What about putting out your faith there? Ah, and it didn't come through. Are you taking a knock, or how do you deal with that? Amen? Just real simple biblical faith. I mean, because it's so easily in a walk or in a race to take a knock. I know when I was a young boy, I prayed. The first three people I prayed for died. Can you believe it? So I said, "Jesus, I refuse. I'll never pray for somebody unless you want." I always said, if you want to die, get me to pray for you. God is my witness. For many years, I never prayed for anybody. For many, many, I can almost say for about 7 years, I never prayed for anybody. Because if I pray for you, it's guaranteed we have a funeral. But we had to overcome that. So, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're the best.